I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. If you go to the back of the Bible to Revelation and turn left, you go five books back, Revelation, Jude, 3 John, 2 John, you get to 1 John chapter 2. Around the holidays, I want to do studies in the book of 1 John. The main theme of 1 John is love. Now, next Sunday, we're going to be looking at Christmas. We'll be looking at the three gifts of the wise men. And then the 17th, Rabbi Ron Goldberg will be here. And I'll tell you what, if you want to see an excited Jew that has found his Messiah, that's Rabbi Ron. Be here for that. New Year's. I'm excited about New Year's this year, basically because I think I have something good to say. New Year's, I scrape around for stuff. I mean, how much can you say about New Year's? But I want to talk about assumptions and assurances. Man, we are stupid in America. We assume that we can teach our kids in school that America's horrible and we're terrible and we've abused the world and we've used countries and we're just awful. And then we wonder why we don't have any patriotism in our country. And we tell them that there is no such thing as right and wrong anymore. There are no moral absolutes. You just can kind of do whatever you want to, or at least people act like they can do whatever they want to, especially if they're Democrats. And, you know, you're only guilty and bad if you're Republican and you get caught doing something. Wow. And then we wonder why they're relativists and they don't think there's any absolute right or wrong. So What I want to do on New Year's is talk about assumptions, which are really getting us in trouble, and then assurances we have from the Bible. So that's New Year's. Now, we're going to do Right to Life Sunday, and we're going to talk about natural law. You know, natural law is where we get the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Natural law is where we get human rights. Natural law is where we get the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. And yet my ethics textbook at Polk State says that natural law is not true. Science has disproven natural law. Well, you know, I'm not ready to give up life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness personally. And so I'm not ready to give up natural law. So we'll talk about natural law. We'll talk about nature's law, nature's God, and nature's attitude toward life. Animals will fight to survive. Animals prize life. If you don't believe it, try to drown a cat in a toilet. It is hard to do. Man, I say that at school and they say, have you ever done that? And I said, no, I love my kitties. I would never do that to one of my cats. But anyway, so, you know, we're going to look at Right to Life Sunday, and that'll be patriotic. And then Jeffrey Singletary will be here on the 28th. And so around all that, we're going to do studies in 1 John, the little book of 1 John. If you want an outline of the book, chapters 1 and 2 are about the light of God, chapters 3 and 4 are about the love of God, and chapters 5 and 6 are about the life of God, but that's not the way the book is organized. It's a letter written by John, and he's got themes. It's kind of like a woven tapestry. And you look at the lines, the threads of thought that go through the book. And one of the threads of thought is he talks about what it means to be born of God. Remember, it was John in the Gospel of John that records you must be born again, John 3:3. John 3:6, he that is born of the flesh is flesh, and he that is born of the spirit is spirit. So the same guy writes this letter, and he brings up again, what are the signs that you're born of God? I believe in the security of believers, but I believe in the insecurity of make-believers. And there's a difference there. So we're going to talk about being born again. Christians are not worldly people trying to do better. They are people who have been radically changed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Matthew Henry said one time, there is no change in your life until there's a change in your spirit. And just like the Great Awakening saved America from a bloody revolution, and the Wesleys and the awakening in England saved them from a bloody revolution when the atheist in France during the Enlightenment caused a bloody French revolution. What is that thing they cut people's heads off with in France? Guillotine. Who invented that? Mr. Guillotine. One of the first people they tested it on. Mr. Guillotine, that's right. Now, I had a student try to tell me one time that when you cut your head off, your brain still functioned for 10 or 15 seconds, so when they cut your head off, they put a newspaper in the basket, and you could read the paper until your brain died. I don't know if I believe that or not, but the French Revolution was done by atheists, not believers, and it became a tremendously bloody, bloody revolution. So let's look at the characteristics of being born of God. Look at chapter 2, verse 29. I'll start with chapter 2, verse 28, 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Verse 29, for if we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. What's one of the characteristics of being born of God? We do righteousness. And this is the present linear action in the Greek. It's we keep on doing righteousness. Now, the Bible says we don't have it on our own. Isaiah 64, 6 says, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. But Isaiah 61, 10 says, he will clothe me with the robes of righteousness. Our righteousness comes from Jesus. You know, they stopped a redneck out on the interstate, and the highway patrolman said, got any ID? And he said, about what? But we're used to giving ID. We have to give ID to cash a check. We have to give ID to buy this or buy that. We have to show identification in a store. And we need to do that. This is the Christian's ID, number one. What is one of the signs we're born of God? We do righteousness. You know, wearing a cross around your neck doesn't make it. And having your name on a church roll doesn't make it. Eileen and I, we were looking at a church the other day. And on Southern Baptist Convention Church Search, that's where all the information's reported from the annual church profile. And a local church. Number of members, 992. Members, you know, worship attendance, 43. And that church is less than 10 miles from our church. Wow, there's a lot of people on the roll that aren't showing up, right? Just because you have a name on your church roll doesn't mean it. Just because you know a handful of Bible facts, that doesn't mean it. Billy Sunday said one time, you know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you a car. And that's the truth. Matthew Henry said, he that is constant in his practice of religion in trying times gives good evidence that he is born from above. Does not habitually commit sin. We are trying to live a good life through the help of God. Little boy, shabby, stinky, used up shoes, standing in front of a McDonald's. This man looked at him. He said, what are you standing here for, son? He said, I'm hungry. I'm hoping somebody will buy me something to eat. So the man takes him in, buys him a Happy Meal, actually buys him an extra hamburger to go with the Happy Meal. And the little boy's eating his Happy Meal, and the man starts to go, and the little boy says to him, said, Mister, are you Jesus? And the man says, well, no. Why'd you ask? He said, because I heard there was a man named Jesus that went around helping poor people, and I just wondered if you were him. Yeah, he that is born of God doeth righteousness. Now look at chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. This is present linear action again in the Greek. It's a continuous thing. Does not habitually keep on committing sin all the time. Yeah. You know, does not commit sin. Whosoever is born of God. Now, born of God is a past action that has continuing results. It's perfect tense. But does not commit sin is an ongoing thing. Sin is real. I heard Erwin Lutzer speak this week, Pastor Moody Church. He said he was talking to a young woman in college. College students know everything. If they don't know it, they can look it up on their smartphone. And she said, I don't believe people are evil. I don't think people are bad. And he said, well, what about Hitler? And she said, well, Hitler wasn't a sinner. He just made some poor choices. Wow. They don't want to say anyone's wrong. Oh, you're evil if you say someone's wrong. You're evil if you say someone's a sinner. Oh, you're the wrong person if you think somebody else is wrong. We got to be tolerant. We got to accept everybody. Let's all go hug a puppy. Hitler just made poor choices. No, Hitler was a sinner. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not a righteous man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Adolf Hitler's down there. If there really are nine circles of hell, like Dante said, he's down there chained with the devil. Bishop Ellicott said, the birth of the new nature is not complete until we get to heaven. So also is freedom from sin progressive. We go along. J. Vernon McGee said the prodigal son could not stay in the pig pen because he wasn't a pig. And if you're really born of God, you don't stay in the pig pen either. That's what the Bible says. Look at chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Wow, there are like 18 one another's, but this is a sign that we're born again, that we love one another. There are two classes of people, that the children of God, the children of the devil. Charles Ryrie said, until one chooses Jesus, they are a child of the devil. You don't become a child of God till you choose Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Ephesians 2:3. Talks about what we used to be, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ, for by grace are you saved. J. Vernon McGee, who pastored the Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles, California, used to talk about the fact that he had an avocado tree in his yard, and it was grafted. Below the graft was a wild avocado tree, and it did have branches, but the branches didn't bear any fruit. Above the graft was a good, productive avocado tree that he got plenty of avocados out of. And the point of it was the tree would bear good fruit or no fruit, and it's just how you prune the branches. And that's true with a lot of people. Now, look at chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have overcome Satan. I believe there is a spirit called Satan. In fact, I had a Satanist in my world religion class over at MacDill Air Force Base. She was a member of the Church of Satan, which was founded by Anton LaVey on April 30th, 1966 in San Francisco. She is an active member in the Church of Satan, and she teaches elementary school in Tampa, Florida. A Satanist, okay? Now, you heard about the dyslexic Satanist. He sold his soul to Santa. But I believe in a real Satan, and I believe he's the energizing force behind evil, behind crooked politics, behind false prophets, behind evil spirits. You know, we sing the little song, he's got the whole world in his hand. No, he doesn't. The devil has the whole world in his hand. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. It is hid to them that are lost. The God of this world hath blinded their eyes. The Bible calls Satan the God of this world. But Jesus had good news, John 12:31. Now is the prince of this world cast down. People say, oh, I believe people are basically good. I believe the world is getting better and better. You obviously don't follow the news, do you? Wow. He told us, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now look at chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. This goes back again to the theme of love. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Here's the born of God thing again. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Beloved, let us love one another. Agape toi, agapo men, alelos. Beloved ones, or loved ones, love one another. Two different variations of the word of love together, one after another. Christianity began with love, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Christianity reaches us with love. God commends his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is love. This chapter 4, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 16, and we have known and believed that the love of God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in us. Love is one of God's names. We don't think about this very often, but the end of 2 Corinthians, the benediction, 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, there's a little poem I think is more true than we realize. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, well, that's another story. One person said, I love the church. It's people I can't stand and get along with. Yeah, God is love. There's a paradox here. It's only by knowing God that we learn to love, and it's only by loving that we learn to know God. It works hand in hand in the Christian life. And look at chapter 5, verse 1. Born of God. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Wow. Who is he? He's God. What did he do? He redeemed us. He is the God-man, Jesus. He's all God and all man at the same time. Jesus appeared unto doubting Thomas, John 20:28, and Thomas fell down on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. He is man and God at the same time. What did he do? He redeemed us. 1 Peter 1:18, for you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and blemish. So the way to be born is through Jesus. The work of being born, look at verse 5. Who is it that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. First of all, we take a good look in the mirror. Look at chapter 5, verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. You know, the biggest problem we have is not people out there and problems out there. The biggest problem we have is the person in here. The biggest problem we all have is the person we see when we look in the mirror, and yet God wants to give us the power to deal with ourselves. And then we face the world. 1 John 5:5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? It's not our power, it's God's power. Matthew Henry said one time, Jesus conquered the world not for Jesus. Jesus conquered the world for us. So we can live in the world and be in the world, but not of the world. Jesus called us out of the world so he could send us into the world. But the world wouldn't be in us. Don't ask me to say that again, all right? But that's the way it is. I used to tape football games on TV when I couldn't watch them, you know? I'd look up the score, and I knew who won. Now, if they won, I'd watch it. If they didn't win, I wouldn't watch it, right? But it's always more fun to watch a game when you know the final score. And that's one reason we have joy in this life. We sing joy to the world, the Lord has come. We know who's going to win, guys. We know the end. So it's more fun to watch what happens, because no matter how bad it gets, we know how it's going to turn out. Now, we know we won even as we live life. So what do we do? Well, God's promised us safety. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 28:20, I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. And he's given us security. Unto him that is able to keep us from falling, Jude verse 24, and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Andrew Fuller, the great Baptist pastor that raised the money to send William Carey to India as the first foreign missionary, Andrew Fuller said, you cannot repeat too soon. No, I can't read my writing. You cannot repent too soon because you do not know how soon it may be too late. You cannot accept Christ too soon because you don't know how soon it's going to be too late. So if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to do that. We're going to sing an invitation hymn, number 287, Take My Life, Lead Me, Lord, number 287.